forget your troubles for just a while. So gather round and settle down. We got rhythm and rhyme. It's comedy time. Hi, everybody. I'm Nipsey Russell, and this is Comedy Time. It's the first in our series of get-togethers, hoping to bring you a few laughs. If you laugh, we love you. If you don't laugh, we'd like to wish you a cold winter with long legs and a short blanket. But even more important, we have some mighty important information about the protection you and your family have under Social Security. Protection that could mean dollars in your pocket right now. We're going to hear from Flip Wilson today. We're going to see what the devil has made him say. He's going to make you laugh, but I'm going to make you smart. Either way, you're going to feel good. Before we get to Flip, listen to Nipsey Russell. A friend of mine heard I was going to do this Social Security show and asked me to get some information for her. She told me that she's been busy working, running her household, and taking care of two kids, age 10 and 12. She wanted to know if something should happen to her, would her kids get Social Security benefits on her earnings record? Well, like the woman said, I rushed down and asked the good Social Security people, and this is what they said. Children now have the same Social Security protection on their mother's record as on their father's. If you should die or become disabled, your children under 18 would be eligible for monthly checks if you worked long enough under Social Security. Or if they remained unmarried and full-time students, those checks would continue until they are 22. Now, my friend is resting a little easier these nights, and you should find out about your Social Security protection, too. But please, don't ask me. Ask those nice people at the Social Security office. You'll find their number listed in your local phone book under Social Security Administration. And now let's hear from Brother Flip.
Visualize a street in a large metropolitan area. Coming up the street is a horse-drawn wagon. Painted in large letters on the side of the wagon, there's a sign that says, "Ice!" There's a little fat guy driving the wagon. He's yelling at the top of his voice,
Ice! Get your ice!
A woman calls from the upper floor of an apartment building. She wants ice. She yells down to the guy. She says,
"I want some ice." Say, "Bring me a piece, honey." Said, "I want a 25-cent piece."
The guy cuts a 30-cent piece because the lady lives upstairs. No elevator in the building. By the time he gets up there, he'll be 25 cents up. I threw that in. The little old lady didn't tell me that. He enters the building, leaving the horse and wagon at the curb, which I thought was very practical. No sense carrying that damn horse and wagon up there. While he's in the building, there's a fella passing along the street. As the guy gets abreast of the wagon, the horse turns and says, "What a life." The guy said, "What'd you say?" "You know what I said, what a life. I say that because the little fat guy who owns the wagon never takes the time to consider what it's like being the horse. He said 5 days a week he makes me pull this ice wagon. And Saturday he sells rides to the kids at a dime a ride. And Sunday it's all day around the park, $3 an hour. That's why I say, what a life." The fellow said, "Does he know you can talk?" The horse said, "Heck no, and don't tell him either. If you do, he'll make me yell ice."
Boy, that Flip. Flipping his talking horse. That reminds me of my little friend, the talking dog. You remember what the little dog said when he sat on the sandpaper? He said, "Ruff, ruff." All right, I guess it's about time to wrap up the show. But we'll be back next week with more comedy and lots more information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. And the good people at Social Security want you to know that the Social Security Administration is an agency of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Till then, this is still Nipsey Russell, who loves you. And now let's listen to Brother Bill Cosby.
I am not from New York City. I was born in Philadelphia. raised in Philadelphia, educated in Philadelphia. And for those of you that, if you plan to come into New York at any time soon, don't bring a lot of money with you. Right? It's the greatest city in the world. You can get all the entertainment you want for only 15 cents. Ride any of the subway trains that they have here. It's marvelous. Not only will they take you where you want to go and bring you back, but they go out of their way to entertain you. They put a nut in every car. You get on any subway car, some nut will stand up. The Lord will kill you if you don't sit down here. I saw a three-act show from West 4th Street up to 125th Street. First act was this woman that went around condemning everyone. She got off at 23rd Street. She was so great, we gave her a standing ovation. She got back on, did an encore up to 34th Street. At 34th Street, she was replaced by 200 high school kids who went through the car, cut up the seats and the people. Well, while I was enjoying this, I figured I'd go and look at the next car and see if they had a show going, and they did. They had a group participation show going, wherein everybody in the car was trying to pull in this one guy who had his leg caught in the doorway. So, and the kids all did a high kickoff at 81st Street, and on came one wino, and he talked to the other, and the guy nudged me, and he said, "These are the stars of the car. They come on every time." And they talked to each other, and the whole thing was titled Incoherency. And one wino looked at the other and said, You were on the motorcycle when the cab was rigged when I read cycling. You were the same. It's derivative.
Well, sport, you can't lie back to the stocking roll bridge this tonight.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead, sport.
Did you run over the motorcycle when the cab was hacked when they was reading and driving something with the home dragon?
No.
So I talked to him after the show was over, and I said, "I think you guys are really great. Where do you go from here?"
And he said, "Well, one by one, they take us over to the Greyhound bus station, and they let us announce where the buses are going."
See, what they do is they get the guys all juiced up, you know, it's... Bus leaving on station number 74,
Rebusack, Haversover, Sack, and North Greenville Highway.
Well, Brother Bill is right. The scene in New York subways haven't changed, but the fare has. And I guess it's about time to crawl into the oven and say, well done. We'll be back next week with more comedy and more information for you about Social Security. So don't forget, you tune us in, and we'll turn you on. Until then, this is Nipsey Russell. Bye now. Here's Woody Allen at Mr. Kelly.
I was kidnapped once. I was standing in front of my schoolyard, and a black sedan pulls up. And two guys get out, and they say to me, "Do I want to go away with them to a land where everybody is fairies and elves? I could have all the comic books I want, and chocolate, and wax lips, you know." And I said yes, you know. And I got into the car with them, because I figured, you know, what the hell? I was home that weekend from college anyhow, you know. They drive me off, and they send a ransom note to my parents. And my father has bad reading habits. So he gets into bed at night with the ransom note. And he read half of it, you know. And he got drowsy and fell asleep. Then he lent it out, you know. Meanwhile, they take me to New Jersey, bound and gagged. And my parents finally realize that I'm kidnapped. And they snap into action immediately. They rent out my room. The ransom note says for my father to leave $1,000 in a hollow tree in New Jersey. He has no trouble raising $1,000, but he gets a hernia carrying the hollow tree. The FBI surround the house. "Throw the kid out," they say. "Give us your guns and come out with your hands up." The kidnappers say, "We'll throw the kid out. But let us keep our guns and get to our car." The FBI says, "Throw the kid out. We'll let you get to your car, but give us your gun." The kidnappers say. We'll throw the kid out. And let us keep our guns. We don't have to get to our car. The FBI says, keep the kid. The FBI decides to lob in tear gas. But they don't have tear gas. So several of the agents put on the death scene from Camino. Tear-stricken, my abductors give themselves up. They're sentenced to 15 years on a chain gang, and they escape, 12 of them chained together at the ankle, getting by the guards posing as an immense charm bracelet.
Well, that about wraps up another chunk of Comedy Time for Social Security. But we'll be back next week for more fun, more laughs, and more facts about Social Security. Till then, this is still Nipsey Russell, who loves you. Now, let's listen to Mike Nichols and Elaine May do part of their famous telephone routine.
Information.
Operator, give me the number, please, of George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, at 4411 Huguenot Walloon Drive.
That is George Kaplan.
Yes, that's right.
That is Kaplan.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That is K as in knife. A as in aardvark. P as in pneumonia. L as in luscious. A as in aardvark again. N as in newel post. Kaplan?
I think so, yes.
Just one moment. I will look that number up for you.
Right. Thank you very much. Operator, if you could try to hurry a little bit.
I am looking the number up for you.
I don't mean to rush you at all. It's just that I'm terrifically late, and
that
I thought...
That number is listed in your directory.
Operator, there is no directory here. I swear to God.
Will you please take a pencil
yes.
and write the number
yes.
down?
I promise I definitely will, yes.
That number is...
Hello,
Fairfax
hello,
Nyan.
Operator, hello.
Information,
hello?
Information.
Operator, you collected my dime.
Information is a free service, sir. When you hang up, your dime will be returned to you.
Yeah, miss, listen, I know it's usually a free service. See, the thing is, in this case, I heard the dime, you know, hit all those other dimes. See, I know it's in there, and I wouldn't bother you about a dime, operator. In this case, miss, it's my last dime. I have no change. My car has broken down, and I'm an hour late for a very important appointment. So you can see that... Hello?
Information.
Oh, no. Miss,
yes.
please return my dime.
Sir, I cannot return your dime to you until you hang up. And when you hang up, your dime will be returned to you.
No, it won't. Operator, listen to me. I know that sound. I've heard it all my life. That dime is in there.
Information cannot argue with a closed mind. No.
I believe every word of it. And that's all the time we have for today. But listen in again next week. I want to give you some more information about Social Security, as well as a few laughs. So take care. Till next week. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell, who says, I love I almost forgot the comedy part of the show. And I know Shelley Berman would never forgive me if I didn't turn him on. So here he is, Shelley Berman.
Hello, desk clerk? A desk clerk? No, I know I want the desk clerk. The desk clerk? Berman, room 702. I just checked in. No, everything's all right. I just want to ask about one thing. I don't seem to... have a window. No, I looked. No, I looked over there, too. I didn't have a window, sir. I'm not sure about that. Well, there's nothing specific I want to see. It's just I'd like a window if I can get a hold of one. Well, I really don't know why. I just feel a man should have a window wherever he goes. And I didn't think to request a window when I booked the room. I thought for sure I'd have one. Well, I have everything else, the wallpaper, the Utrio prints, the Gideon Bible. I have everything. I just don't have a window. So there's plenty of hot water, loads of hot water. Matter of fact, from both taps. I wanted to ask you about that. Thirsty during the night. One sort of curious thing, sir. You know the dresser? Four drawers, three are painted on. Now, why is that? Yeah, well, getting back to that window, what do you think you ought to do, you know, about getting one installed to find the one we have? Yeah, well, where do you think I'd find it? Near which door? Well, now, that's the other thing I want to ask you about, sir. I can't find my door, sir. I don't know where it is. I'm not denying I have a door. I'm in the room. There must be a door. I didn't materialize in here, but I cannot find the damn door. That's all I'm saying. Where do you think I'd find it? Near which window? I don't have a window. Wouldn't that be an odd place to put a door next to a window? I mean, if you walked through, you'd fall out of the building, wouldn't you, sir? I mean, I have one door over here, but that's the door to my closet. Oh, I thought I had one. Well, then, maybe that's the door to my bathroom. You're kidding. Well, where is it? I don't need a pencil. Just tell me how to find it, will you, please? Yeah. Just a minute. I'll get a pencil. There I will. Now, would you talk a little slower? It's difficult for me to write. Well, it's dark in here. I would if I could find the switch. There is no light switch between the window and the door, sir. I'm not admitting I have a window and a door. All I'm saying is that if there was a window and a door, there wouldn't be a light switch there. Well, I know, because the first thing I did when I came in was feel all the walls, and there is no light switch. If you do me a favor and set up a bellhop with some candles. Well, where are they? Well, what time do you reopen? Is this place closed at night? Well, how about your other guests? How do they feel about this? I am. Goodbye.
Well, that's all we have time for today, but I'll be back next week, and we'll have more laughs and more information from Social Security. So until next time, it's Nipsey Russell, who loves you. All right, now you listen to Bill Cosby, because he's going to make you laugh.
Now, when I was coming up, see, I was an only child for 7 years. I had that blessed moment for 7 years. Oh, it was really great, man. I ate regular, had a lot of clothes, two pair of shoes, lots of corduroys, ties. The guys in my neighborhood, I was the only child in my neighborhood. Other guys were suffering. No food, no nothing. Guys just walking around with the airy herbs. You know, that's when your stomach is empty. I never let them know I had a good meal. I'd walk out, I'd make some kind of sound. The guys were really hungry. Got to the point where they were chewing water. Oh, yeah. Then my mother comes up to me one day. I'm sitting around reading a comic book, you know, cooling it. And she says, "You're going to have a little brother or a sister." I said, "Why? You aren't satisfied with my work?" "No, I'm making improvements for you. What are you bringing other people in the house for?" Then I found out, Planned Parenthood, see? They're smart. They have a kid, 7 years old, make him the babysitter. Now, I got to look after these two brothers of mine who happen to be the worst kids in the world to get along with when the parents leave. Why do parents do that? Leave the oldest to watch the youngest. You know you can't control them. And they know they can get away with anything. And besides that, they stand at the door when the parents are getting ready to leave with the most pitiful look on their faces, stand up there in their PJs, just about 2 seconds off of crying. And they always follow the parents with their heads. "Mommy, you going out? Daddy, you going out? Mommy, you going out?" That's all they say. You know, the whole time parents are getting dressed. "You going out? You going out?" My father was cool. "Come on, let's hurry up. Let's get out of here." And as soon as they close that door, these two guys start crying on me, man, for 12 days. One used to run in place when he cried. And the other stood beside him and vibrated. With all the flang hanging from him. Couldn't take it. "Will you shut up?
You better not hit us either."
"Why, what are you going to do, cry?" And they cry so long they get tired and fall asleep by the door, but they're still evil, still evil, still crying. Then they cut that out and the body's still vibrating. Then he starts sup-supping. Then the door opens. They've been sleeping by the crack. The parents hit him in the head with the door. And they lie on you.
He set us on fire twice. Went out to play and left the gas on for 3 days.
Thanks, Bill. That's it for this week's Comedy Time from Social Security. I'm Nipsey Russell, and I'm saying so long, and I love you. And now let's hear from Brother Flip.
You know what my minister told me? He was saying how much pressure women are under from the devil, and how devil just hounds women. You know, that's rough, too, being a minister. I mean, he told me, he said, you're coming here complaining about your problems, and I got to wage this constant battle against the devil. I said, yeah, Rev? He told me his wife came in the house a few days before, and she had this box. And on the side of this box was written the name of a very exclusive dress shop. The lowest dress was $85. And that was on sale. So she walks in the house, and Rev says, another dress? You bought another dress? This is ridiculous. That's the third dress this week. And his wife tells him, the devil made me buy this dress. Said, I didn't want to buy no dress. The devil kept following me. I was going down the street going, and the devil kept following me, and he kept telling me how good I look.
Rep said, I'm not going for that. He said, every time you do something wrong, you blame it on the devil. So you blamed it on the devil when you ran the car to the side of the church.
It was the devil. You wasn't there. How do you know? You grabbed the steering wheel out of my hand.
I said, well, why didn't you step on the brake?
Said, because when he grabbed the steering wheel, I tried to kick him. I can't kick him and step on the brake at the same time. Said, we had a big fight. And that's why I was in the back seat when you all got the call.
Griff said, well, how'd the devil get you to buy the dress?
She said, I was going out there. And the devil sneaked up behind me. I heard him tip it, so, you know, I didn't want to look around because I knew it was the devil, you know. The devil came up behind me, said,
say, Mama, look at the dress in the window. Said, that's your size, too. Said, it's on sale, too. Got a lot of them flowers in it like you like, you know. So why don't you treat yourself to that dress?
And I told him, you better cut that out, devil. I already bought two dresses this week. I'm not going to buy no dress. I'm not even going to look at it.
Devil said, well, why don't you try it on? Said, I'm not going to charge you nothing to try it on. But that's free. You owe yourself a try on.
I said, devil, you better leave me alone. And he shoved me in the door. The devil just shoved me in that door. He pushed me in the door. I said, devil, stop it, please.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more information on your Social Security benefits. Don't forget, they got benefits that you don't even know about. Take it from me, Nipsey Russell, who loves you dear. Now let's listen to Woody Allen. Woody?
I had once a pain in my chest over here. I did. I had a pain in the chestal area. Now, I was sure it was heartburn, you know, because that time I was married and my wife was cooking with her Nazi recipes, you know. Chicken Himmler. I didn't want to pay $25 to have it reaffirmed by some medic that I had heartburn. But I was worried because it was in the chestal area. And then it turns out my friend, Eggs Benedict, has a pain in his chestal area in the same exact spot. And I figured if I could get Eggs to go to the doctor, I could figure out what's wrong with me at no charge. So I con Eggs. And he goes. Turns out he's got heartburn. Cost him $25. And I feel great. because I figure I beat the medic out of 25 big ones, you know.
I call up Eggs 2 days later.
He died. I check into a hospital immediately. Have a battery of tests run, x-rays. Turns out I got heartburn. Cost me $110. Now I'm furious. I run to Egg's mother. And I say, did he suffer much? And she said, no, it was quick. Car hit him and that was it.
It has often been said that the good die young. That's the basis of all of my fears. So let us be wicked and lustful and bad and stay here for hundreds of years. Yeah, Woody, we all go to the doctor. The doctor said to me, he said, Nipsey, the very best thing for your health is to give up chasing girls, give up drinking, give up staying out at night. I said, Doc, I don't deserve the best. What's the next best? And that little bit of philosophy just about wraps up the show for this week, but we'll be back again next week. We'll be back every week with laughs and with facts from Social Security. You call them now. You hear? See you next week. This is Nipsey Russell. You bet. And tell them that Nipsey Russell sent you. Now let's listen to Sister Lily Tomlin. Lily, talk to the folks.
A gracious good afternoon. This is your operator, Miss Tomlin. How may I help you? You say you've lost your dime? Well, that's no problem for the telephone company. May I have the number from which you are dialing? Is that B as in boy? Bostwick 99650. May I safely assume that this is a pay station? And may I have your name and address, please? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am. We will send you your dime as soon as we've checked the validity of your claim. Yes, we also like to look into our dime's return file to see if you've pulled this before. Well, madam, is that your attitude? If that's the way you feel about it, the phone company recommends that you lump it. A gracious good afternoon. This is your operator. You've lost your dime? Yes, sir. Is that B as in boy, Boswick 99650? May I have your name and address, please? Thank you. We will send you your dime as quickly as possible. A gracious good afternoon. A gracious good afternoon. This is Miss Tomlin, your operator. How may I help you? You must let me get it out, sir. Now, far be it from me to delay your pressive schedule, but some of us do take pride in our work. Now then, you say you've lost your dime? That's B as in boy, Boswick 99650. And may I have your correct address? You may expect your dime in 3 to 30 days. And as a special favor, I'm enclosing our three-color brochure on phone etiquette. You might find it useful. Phoenicia, this is Ernestine. I know it's your day off, but this is important. You got to get over to Main and 3rd Street. Boswick 9's about to pay off. Well, I think we've got our weekend to Tijuana all paid for. Listen, Phoenicia, take a big sack with you. And for God's sakes, don't yell bonsai when it hits like you did last time.
Well, that's it for now. Time to wrap up the show. But we'll be back next week with more comedy and more information about your rights and benefits under the big double S, Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying so long. Now let's listen to Flip.
I go to church every Sunday. I have a very strong religious background. I go to church. I go, like, I'm in different cities. I go to different churches. Last week I went to a beautiful little church uptown. It was nice, though. They charge $1 to get in. You know? Very nice. You pay that $1, they give you a sandwich. Something like that. And they have a little group there that plays. The group does a 40-minute set, then Rev comes on, does 20 minutes. And, Rev opened the service by passing the plate.
plate, shot around the room, came back, nothing in it. Ref said, y'all, there's nothing in the plate. I said, if I didn't, I lost money coming down here. So I'm going to send the plate back out there again and give y'all a chance to clean this up. Plate shot around the room, came back, nothing again. Ref said, now, brothers and sisters, we can't make it like this. So now I'm sure that everybody here wants this church to progress. That if this church is going to progress, first, it's got a call. This church has got a call. And the congregation yelled, let it crawl, Rev. Let it crawl. Rev said, and after this church has crawled, it's got to stand up and walk. And the members yelled, make it walk, Rev. Make it walk. Rev said, and after this church has walked, it's got to run. This church has got to run. And the members yelled, make it run, Rev. Make it run. Rev said, for this church to run, it's going to take money. And the members yelled, let it crawl, Rev. Let it crawl.
Yeah, Flip. Did you ever notice the difference in the way children pray? I remember when kids used to pray, they used to say, bless mommy, bless poppy. Thank you, dear Lord, for the little baby brother that's coming soon. Grandmother is sick. She has heart trouble. Please make her well. Amen. Now they say, mom and dad are A-OK. A little squealer is on the way. Grandma's computer system in doubt. Stand by to rescue. Over and out. And it's just about time to be over and out for us for this week. A good show, funny show, important show. Social Security is important. And how? Till next week, this is Nipsey Russell. I'm saying as usual, I love you. And I'll be back for more. We'll be back every week with laughs and with facts from Social Security. You call them now. You hear? See you next week. You bet. I can tell you about Bill Cosby. He's a very funny fellow, as we now shall hear.
At the beginning of every football game, a referee comes out and he introduces the two team captains, and then he flips a coin. Captain Harvard, this is Captain Sobers. Captain Sobers, this is Captain Harvard. Call the toss there, Captain Harvard. Captain Harvard's called heads, it's tails. You lose a toss, your team wins. What will you do, Captain?
Now, he'll do whatever is to his advantage.
We won't receive. We won't receive. All right, sir. This team here will receive. They will receive. And what will these guys do? They will kick off. We will kick off. All right? This team here will kick off. They will kick off.
All right. Now, I was thinking that perhaps what would happen, suppose way back in history, if you had a referee before every war and a guy called a toss. Let's go to the Revolutionary War. Okay.
Captain Harvard to the British, this is Captain Sobers to the settlers. Captain Sobers to the settlers, Captain Harvard to the British. Call a toss there, British. British call heads, it's tails. You lose a toss, British settlers win. What do we do, settlers? All right, the settlers say that during the war, they will wear any color clothes that they want to, shoot from behind the rocks, the trees, and everywhere. Says your team must wear red and march in a straight line.
Or else you have, like, the Indians and the cavalry, the referees, same referee.
Captain Custer, this is Captain Sitting Bull. Captain Sitting Bull, this is Captain Custer. Call a toss, cuss. He calls head, it's tail. You lose the toss, huh? What will you do there, Sip? All right, Captain Simbo says you and your boys got to wait down at the bottom of the hill while him and all the Indians in the world ride right down on you.
We were always great athletes in my family. I have a brother who won a gold medal in the Olympics. Now, you don't have to believe me. You can look it up in the sports annual. Yeah, he was getting ready to do the shot put, and he accidentally backed into a javelin thrower and won the broad jump. Yeah, that was my brother. Well, we gotta go, but I hope you know that we'll be back next week with more information about your protection under Social Security. And, of course, we'll have laughs with the best comics in the whole world. So So for right now, it's cheerio from Nipsey Russell. Who loves you? All right. Now you listen to Bill Cosby, because he's going to make you laugh.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He's making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. It's vooba, 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 vooba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood, build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera?
Thanks, Bill. That's it for this week's Comedy Time from Social Security. I'm Nipsey Russell, and I'm saying so long, and I love you. They'll give you the facts, and now I'll give you the fun. Bob Newhart is going to do a part of one of his famous routines.
There are a lot of movies, as you may have noticed, being made in Africa. And there's a very good reason for this. Their money is frozen over there, and they can't get it out, and they go over and make pictures. They have to make about 10, 12 pictures a year in order to get their money out of the country. And very often they don't have a plot, you see. But some of these directors haven't been there for, oh, say, 5, 6 years, and they don't know Africa as it is today, the way it's changing. So I'd like to take you now to a small African village where they're about to shoot this movie, and we find the director talking to the assembled natives. Fellas, you want to gather around here for just a minute? Guys, I'll give you a little idea of the plot of the thing, you know, in case you need motivations for your parts, whatever. Stu Granger's plane crashes in the clearing behind the village, and he wanders around for a couple days. You see, he doesn't know where he is. Maybe he's in friendly land. Maybe he's in hostile land. He comes over the knoll back there. He sees you guys doing your fire dance, you see. Well, now, as I say, he doesn't know whether you're friendly, whether you're hostile, but he's just... What's the matter, fellas? You don't have a fire dance. I thought all you clowns had fire dance. How about a rain dance, guys? You have a rain dance of some kind? If it rains, it rains. that's the enlightened way of looking, I suppose. Harry, you want to come up here? Fellas, this is Harry, our choreographer. Harry,
Hey, you want to take about 10 of these clowns, teach them some kind of fire dance they can do? Just a little time step they can do around the fire. Right? Okay, while he's working with them, going to need two more guys. All right, this fella here, and let's take this fella over here. Fellas, you've probably done this a couple hundred times. It's a trite scene, but we need it. The drums start, the drums stop. You two guys come running in. You set fire to the pile of wood in the center. You two guys run out, and then on come the dancers. Okay, guys, have you got it? Let's try to get it in one take. I think it'll kind of add a little, you know, informality to it. Okay, you ready? Camera's ready? Okay, drums start. Okay, action. Okay, drums out. You two guys come running in. That's the way. Set fire. Oh, fellas, hold it a minute. Hold it a minute. Not with your lighters, guys. Wait a minute.
And so it's gone by again. Another 5 minutes of comedy time. I hope you laughed a little, and I hope you learned a little about Social Security. The good people, the people who want to help you, give them a ring. They like to talk on the telephone. Until next week, remember, this is Nipsey Russell for Social Security. Love. Now, let's listen to Woody Allen tell us about a very unusual story. A story from his new hit album, Woody Allen.
I wrote a science fiction film, which I'll tell you about. It's 4:10 in the afternoon. And everybody in the world mysteriously falls asleep. Just like that, they're driving cars, whatever they're doing, bang, they go to sleep, the Russians, the Chinese, the Americans, and the whole world sleeps for exactly 1 hour till 4:10. And they wake up at 4:10, and mysteriously, upon awakening, everybody in the world finds himself in the pants business. Stay with us, because it's brilliant. Everybody's making comps and flies and cutting velvet, you know. And a spaceship lands from another planet, and men get out with jackets and shirts and black socks. No trousers at all. And they say, are the pants ready? We say no. Could you come back Thursday? They say they must have them because they're going to a wedding. And we work diligently and make pants constantly. And they come to get them, and when they come and pick them up, they leave us with socks, handkerchiefs, pillowcases, and soiled linen. And they say, do it. And the President of the United States goes on television and says that an alien superpower from out of space with superior intelligence is bringing us their laundry. And they're foiled because they travel 117 million light years to pick it up, and they forget their ticket.
Well, that's Woody Allen and his story about travelers. I travel a lot, stop in the best hotels. I mean exquisite, luxurious hotels. You know why the towels in the bathrooms are so thick and fluffy you can hardly close your suitcase. Okay, I'll go. Great diplomats are hard to find. Not many can pass the test, because it's hard to keep your shirt on while you're getting something off your chest. Well, folks, that about wraps it up. Another show, now it's time to go. But we'll be back next week with more funny routines and more important information from your friends at Social Security. Social Security, get in touch with them. Don't be shy. Pick up a phone or drop them a line. They want to hear from you. Don't disappoint them. Next week, I'll be back. This is Nipsey Russell saying, I love you, and bye for now. Someone there will be happy to help you. A few minutes ago, I talked about Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin now will talk for herself.
Oh, gracious, good afternoon. This is Miss Tomlin at the telephone company. Have I reached the party to whom I am speaking? Mr. Veedle? Mr. Veedle, you owe us a balance of $23.64. When may we expect payment? Pardon? When what freezes over? No. Mr. Veedle, you are not dealing with just anyone's fool. I am a high school graduate. Now then, when may we expect payment? Oh, Mr. Beadle, I don't see why you're kicking up such a ruckus when, according to our files, your present bank balance plus stocks, securities, and other holdings amount to exactly three... Pardon? Privileged information. Oh, Mr. Beadle! Oh, that's so cute. No, no, no. You're dealing with the telephone company. For instance, as I look through your income tax return for 19... Oh, Mr. Beadle. Mr. Beadle, you don't understand. We are not subject to city, state, or federal regulations. We are omnipotent. Omnipotent. That's potent with an omni in front of it. Now then, when may we expect payment? Oh, dear me, Mr. Beadle. I'm afraid we're going to have to discontinue your outgoing service. And if we do not receive payment within 10 days, we will send a large, burly serviceman to your home to rip it out of the wall. I'd advise you to lock up the liquor. He's a mean drunk. Now then, wouldn't you rather pay, Mr. Beadle, than lose your service and possibly the use of one eye? Oh, dear me. You know, Mr. Beadle, I think we can persuade you to pay after all. I want you to listen to a little recorded conversation. Can you hear that all right? That's right, it is you. Do you recognize that other voice? That's right. And do you remember the basic content of that conversation? Wait a minute. I want to hear this part again. Oh, Mr. Beadle. Now, Mr. Beadle, if you're interested, we have 96 hours more. Oh, I think blackmail is such an ugly word. Let's just call it a vicious threat.
Thanks, Lily. And thank you, folks, for listening in. We'll be back next week. More comedy and more information for you about Social Security. So until next week, this is Nipsey Russell saying so long. Okay, as I said, we'll listen to Bill Cosby talk about wives. That's a piece in his hit recording, Revenge.
I do not understand wives. Wives, I do not understand them, and I don't think I'm supposed to understand them. No, now listen, you guys agree with me now. First of all, what is it in the makeup of a married woman? Because they are two different people, a single woman and a married woman. Single woman is hungry. She's out there trying. Please, somebody, let me have a man somewhere. I'll do anything. I'll dress on time. I'll cook for you. I'll sew. I'll let you gamble. I won't bother you. And I'll do all these things. And then when you get married... All right, Herman, we got you. All right, now sit down and have your breakfast. That's the first thing. And you're not going out on them Thursday nights when I used to let you go out. Remember the fine time you used to have with the boys gambling? Cancel that out. We're going to church. I don't understand what it is about. Why is it that a man has to constantly say to the woman that he married, which means that he gave up a heck of a lot by saying, I do. Now he's got a partner that follows him everywhere he goes. See, how come there's always a thing where the lady wakes him up 3 o'clock in the morning, on time every time, to ask the dumb question of the morning? The dumb question of the morning. Now, I love to sleep. I love sleep so much. I'd enjoy sleep like a good steak. I really do. If you could peek into my bedroom and see me sleeping, you'll never see me like... I never sleep like that. I enjoy sleep. I say, oh. Oh. That's the way I sleep, man. Oh, that was wonderful. Oh. I love sleep, man. Now I feel this finger digging into my shoulder blade. I'm an intelligent human being. I try to say, what is it, dear? But it always comes out. And then she hits me with the dumb question of the morning. Dear, if I die, will you get married again? Now, what has that got to do with 3 o'clock in the morning? And you got to ask her, dear, how long have you been sitting up thinking about this? You know, have you been sitting up since 8 o'clock at night waiting for this answer? I don't understand you. No man in his right mind has ever said, dear, if I die tomorrow, will you get married? No man ever said that. Only women. Only women. Weird people.
Well, folks, that about wraps it up. Another show, now it's time to go. But we'll be back next week with more funny routines and more important information from your friends at Social Security. Social Security, get in touch with them. Don't be shy. Pick up a phone or drop them a line. They want to hear from you. Don't disappoint them. Next week, I'll be back. This is Nipsey Russell saying, I love you, and bye for now. And now let's listen to Nichols and May do a funny scene from one of their funny albums.
What are you going to be drinking, Miss Lemus?
Just anything, I guess.
Should I order for you? Probably like an Alexander. Ladies like them an awful lot. I noticed 9 times out of 10.
They're a little sweet.
I'll just have Morris. Bring us a couple of Rye and ginger ale. A Canadian club. Thank you. That's a very careful job you did on that whole Mimeo deal, Miss Lemus. I wanted to commend you. I didn't want to do it in front of the other girls, you know, because once you start that stuff...
Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much.
It's just crystal clear. I didn't know that you could make that many copies and all clear.
Ran them on the mimeograph, and they came off.
They're just remarkable, really.
Well, thank you.
I know that old Mimeo. It doesn't always behave that way.
You have to keep inking it.
Yes.
And then it works well, though. But
your average girl isn't going to care, you see.
Sometimes. I know a lot of the times, when I'm in the office and some of the girls are working on the mimeograph and I see that it's getting low on ink, I'll go up to them and I'll say, it's getting low on ink.
Yeah, sure.
They'll just keep doing it and it'll be very, very faint copies.
Yeah, well, a lot of them just don't.
Well, it's not so much they don't give it. I think that they're not so much lazy as they don't know how important it is,
Yes.
Because it is important, I think.
Well, if you get somebody like yourself who feels that we're all one family, which we are, then...
Yes. I think that that's just the wonderful thing about GAA and P, and that is that everybody is... you're not just going to a job and working. I mean, everyone is just so nice to you.
Thank you, Myers.
Thank you.
Well, that's the way we like the girls to feel. Drink up, honey.
Wow, the time goes fast, and I guess our 5 minutes are up. But we'll be back next week with more laughs and more information from Social Security. I hope you'll listen in, because I enjoy talking out. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell for Social Security saying... Bye now. Okay, let's listen to Bob Newhart now. Do a part of his famous driving instructor's routine. It's from his album, The Best of Bob Newhart.
How do you do? You're Mrs. Webb, is that right? Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who is the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75? And where was that? In your driveway. How far had Mr. Adams gotten in the lesson? Backing out. I see, you were backing out at 75, and that's when he jumped. Did he cover starting the car and the other way of stopping. What's the other way of stopping? Throwing it in reverse. That's right. Oh, that would do it. You're right. That would do it. All right. You want to start the car? Mrs. Webb, you just turned on the lights. You want to start the car? They all look alike, don't they? I don't know why they design them that way. All right, let's pull out into traffic. Now, what's the first thing we're going to do before we pull out into traffic? Well, what did Mr. Adams do before he let you pull out into traffic? Well, I mean, besides praying, let's say. No, what I had in mind was checking the rearview mirror. You see, we always want to check the rear... Don't pull out! please don't cry. I'm sorry. But there was this bus, Mrs. Webb. All right, the lane is clear now. You want to pull out? Oh, no, that wasn't bad at all. You might try it a little slower next time. All right, let's get up a bit more speed and gradually ease it into second. Well, I didn't want to cover reverse this early. But as long as you've shifted into it, of course you're nervous.
Well, we've done it again, and that does it for this week. We'll be back next week with more laughs and more information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. So until next week, this is your friend and mine, Nipsey Russell, saying doodaloo. You find them and they'll find a way to solve your problem. Now let's listen to Lily Tomlin. This is from her hit album called This Is a Recording.
Harry, good afternoon. This is Miss Tomlin at her switchboard. I cannot talk to the press now. I said I cannot talk to you now. Yes, the phone company is on strike. Everyone except the executives and me. I'll have that story for you when it's over. Well, in the meantime, just reprint the stories from our last strike and change the dates. A gracious good afternoon, directory assistant, Miss Tomlin on the wire. The business office? That number for the business office is listed in your directory. You don't have a directory. Very well, I will switch you and the business office will supply you with one. Business office, Miss Tomlin speaking. A new directory? Certainly. They are issued free of charge to our subscribers. Simply flag down any repair truck and they'll throw one to you. You need installation and repair service? Installation and repair service will be listed in your new directory. Can it wait till then? Very well, I will switch you. Just a moment. Installation and repair service, Miss Tomlin speaking. Oh, just a moment, please. At the tone, the time will be 3:23 and 30 seconds. Ding dong. Installation and repair again. Oh, by the way, your 3 minutes are up. Please deposit 5 cents for the next 3 minutes. Thank you. That box sounds pretty full. I'll have to get down there on my dinner break and empty it out. Now then, how may I help you in the midst of the worst strike in our history? A phone installed? Hold on and I'll check. Winds are from the northwest at 20 knots per hour, whatever the hell that means. Yes, sir, I can give you a black wall model and a blue princess and install them myself tonight after work. Oops, just a second. President's office. No, he is not. No, he is not. In the glorious tradition of telephone company management, the president himself is out in a repair truck, guaranteeing service to the community. Very well, I'll switch you to customer relations. Hold on, please. Are you still there, Black Wall Phone, Blue Princess? I'll be right back. Customer relations, Miss Tomlin at the duty desk. You've just been struck in the head by a directory? I'll bet you were standing by the side of the road waving your arms, weren't you? Well, how bad is it? Doesn't sound attractive. You better call an ambulance. Directory assistance will give you that number. Are you still holding Blue Princess? 5 cents more. I'll be right back. Directory assistance, Miss Tomlin in the saddle. General Hospital? Certainly, but that number is listed in your new directory, the one that just struck you in the head. Long distance, Miss Tomlin, EC. Madrid? Now, that certainly is a long distance.
And that about wraps up the show for this week. We'll be back again next week with more laughs and more facts from Social Security. This is Nipsey Russell, who loves you, and I gotta say goodbye. Bill Cosby has an album called Revenge, and it is from that album that we shall now hear.
You know, airplanes, you know, all comics do routines on airplanes, you know, and they get on, they talk about fear and stuff like that, see. But none of them ever really come to the point, you see. And the point is this. I do not hold in what's on my mind. See, I speak up. When I, as soon as my foot hits the plane, I speak out. Hope the plane don't crash. Yes, sir. I speak right out. Sure, it shakes up a lot of people. But they're angry because they didn't say it. I got on one plane, I said, hope the plane don't crash. He said, here, here. And it was the pilot. I'm telling you right now, a lot of you get drunk, you just, and then you say, we landed. Oh, we're safe again. Sober right up. Okay, good enough. And I'll tell you something else. I want to know when the plane is going down. I don't want any stewardess walking by saying, oh, no smoking, just for fun. No, sir. I want to prepare myself for that crash. Guy, the worst thing in the world to do is die while you're reading Life magazine. I want to be able to do all those dumb things that I've been preparing and think. I want to put my arms out, brace myself, just in case, you know. Sure, my wrist may wind up in my shoulder joint, but I still might, you know, I want to wait until it's 6 inches from hitting and then jump up in the air. I want to do those things. I don't care if I get wiped out. And I want you to face reality, too. I've told my wife about this a million times. When that plane is going down, I am not thinking about my wife and daughters. I'm sorry. A lot of you may say, oh, that's bad. I'm saying to myself, why me?
Thanks, Brother Bill. That wraps up another show. A good show, I think, and an important one. Everything about Social Security is important, so don't take it lightly. Social Security, you may have it coming to you. Till next week, this is Nipsey Russell. I'll be coming to you then. Got that straight? Let's listen to Flip Wilson. This is from his great album, Cowboys and Colored People. You tell him, Flip.
Everyone has idols, right? People who inspired them and drove them on to greater horizons. As a kid, my idol was Christopher Columbus. What a great thing that was, discovering America. I wouldn't have found it. I don't know where you people would have been. I wouldn't have found it. You know, discovering America wasn't a thing that Columbus had gotten wrapped up in after getting older. As a kid, this was all he talked about. He lived in a little town with his mother and father. Their names were Mr. and Mrs. Columbus. Everybody thought Chris was off his cookie. Like the neighbors were teasing, they'd come by and lean over the fence. He'd be there in the yard. And they'd say, Christopher Columbus, what are you going to do when you grow up? And he'd say, I'm going to discover America. They'd say, you better cut that out. You know there isn't any America. You know the world is square. At 35, he'd gotten out of grammar school. He arranged an audience with the Queen, Queen Isabel. Isabel Johnson. That was the Queen's name. And she asked him about this America project, and Chris tells her, if I don't discover America, there's not going to be a Benjamin Franklin. Or a Star-Spangled Banner in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And no Ray Charles. When the Queen heard no Ray Charles, she panicked. The Queen said, Ray Charles! You gonna find Ray Charles? He in America? Chris is damn right. That's where all those records come from. So the Queen's running through the halls of the castle screaming, Chris gonna find Ray Charles. He gone to America on that boat. What you say? She wrote him out a traveler's check. Chris ran a local Army Navy store. He bought 3 U-ships, 2 pair of fatigues, some shades. Then he got his supplies for the trip. He got 2 chicken sandwiches, 3 cans of Vienna sausage, 5 cases of scotch, and a small 7-Up. Then he got a new rag to tie his head with, too. He's ready to leave. All photographers and reporters are at the pier to see him off. All the girls are there. They're all screaming, "Goodbye, Columbus. He's gone on that boat. He's gone to America." Isabel was there, and she'd had a few. Isabel saying, "Chris gonna find Ray Charles."
My, how the time does fly. We'll be back next week. More laughs. More information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. Until next week, this is Nipsey Russell saying, bye now. Nichols and May are here today, and they got some funny words to say. Let's listen.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Gauze.
Gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
A little more gauze.
We don't have any more gauze.
That's all the gauze?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. We had a small roll of gauze.
I'll bring you a sponge.
Sponge.
Clamp.
You have the clamp.
Suture.
Yes, a suture.
Edith.
Yes.
I love you.
Please, please.
Sponge.
You have the sponge.
Give me another sponge. I want 2 sponges.
You have all the sponges.
I have 2 sponges.
We don't. We only have 2 sponges.
This is terrible when we wrangle this way.
But
why do you avoid me?
We have 2 sponges.
Why do you avoid me in the hall?
I don't avoid you in the hall.
You turned your back at the coffee machine.
I didn't turn my back.
You deliberately turned your back.
Excuse me, the oxygen is failing.
Edith, don't change the subject.
But it's failing.
Well, turn it up.
Well, I'm trying to.
Is there somebody else?
Is there something you'd like? Suture? Sponge? Something?
Is there somebody else?
I don't care to discuss it now,
thank you. It's Pinsky, isn't it?
I don't care to talk about it.
I saw you in the cafeteria.
I just don't care to talk about it, Dr. Harris. Now, would you like anything else? Otherwise, I'd like to go.
Go in the middle of an operation?
Well, I have nothing else to hand you. You've got it all in the patient.
Edith, what have I done to hurt you this way?
You haven't done anything to hurt me. I just wish you wouldn't badger me.
Badger you?
I need time to think. I told you that before.
I don't know you like this. You're cold. You're diffident.
Because you badger me.
I haven't badgered
you. You're only making me run away.
Is it badgering you to tell you I love you? Is that badgering you?
Please do not tell me over and over in the cafeteria and in operations.
All right, I'm sorry. Give me a needle.
Needle?
Thread.
Would you like me to thread the needle?
I don't even know what I'm doing. Yes, thread it, please.
All right. Catgut?
Yes.
Cheer up. Come on, I have a little joke for you. Knock, knock. Come on. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Catgut.
Catgut who?
Catgut your tongue? Oh, come on.
Edith, why are you torturing me?
I'm not. I was trying to cheer you up.
Well, there's only one way you can cheer me up, and that's to say yes.
Please, please, Dr. Harris, not now. This is how you drive me away every time.
Put your finger on this knot, please.
All right, but don't do anything funny.
I'm not doing anything funny. I'm sewing up the patient. All now
right.
It's you who starts these things.
All right, all right.
Oh, I do love you so.
Oh, please, please, let go of my finger. I knew you were going to do this.
Please, no, don't pull back. I do. I love you. I love you.
Let go of my finger.
Don't pull back. You're pulling the stick.
Please, Dr. Harris, stop.
Edith, it is Pinsky, isn't it?
I don't want to talk about it now.
It's very important to me to know whether it's Pinsky or not.
Give me time to check. Now the oxygen is failing again.
Let it fail. I'm sick of this torture.
Please sew, Dr. Harris. Everyone is looking at you.
Well, that's it for today. But we'll be back next week with more of Comedy Time and more facts for you about Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying bye-bye. Now let's listen to Bob and Ray do a funny piece from their record, Bob and Ray, the two and only.
Just a few moments ago, over here in Ocean City, New Jersey, they crowned the winner of the 1970 Most Beautiful Face Contest. And we've been granted the first interview with the winner. Is our lovely guest in front of the camera?
Yes, I am.
Well, wait a minute. You're a man, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, you must be the first man to have ever won the Most Beautiful Face Contest.
I believe I am.
Well, be perfectly honest with you, I was all set to talk to a young lady. I don't know as my questions are particularly appropriate. Your vital statistics?
7 1/4, 15 1/2, 32.
Start at the fundamentals. What's your name and where are you from?
Fonstock P. Beaudry of Moline, Illinois.
Well, congratulations, Fonstock. I have been requested to remind you of the obligations you assumed when you were crowned a few moments ago. You know, of course, you'll be showing your beautiful face all over this country this coming year.
Yes, will I be chaperoned on that tour?
Sure you will. Incidentally, should you do anything to bring disgrace or cause scorn to fall upon the Most Beautiful Face contest, the committee, and or its sponsors, then your title will pass to the first runner-up.
Well, I don't plan to do anything wrong.
Well, the committee just couldn't take that chance. Fonstock, could you tell us of that magic moment when you heard your name announced as winner? Did you cry a little?
Oh, a little, I guess. But I would describe it as feeling dumbfounded. That's about how I'd describe it.
You know, now that I look at you, you do have a beautiful face at that.
My neatly chiseled features stand out.
Classic Grecian, I'd say.
I'm told they're Roman.
Ah. I know your eyes are well set apart. Well, how did you come by all this beauty?
Well, both my parents were pretty.
You have any pretty brothers and sisters at all?
No, I'm a beautiful only child.
And that's all the time we have for this week on Comedy Time, but we'll be back next week with more laughs, more information. Information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. So tune in and we'll turn you on. This is Nipsey Russell. I'm saying I love you and goodbye for now. Now let's go back a few years and listen to a recording of George Burns and Gracie Allen. Look, you got a letter from your sister, Bessie.
Oh, Bessie.
What does she say? What does she say? Anything?
She's just wonderful herself.
She?
But her son, Willie.
Willie? Willie, that's the one with the high blood pressure.
Yes,
that's... The one who sleeps on the floor to keep his blood pressure down.
Yes, that's the one.
Smart kid.
Yes.
What about Willie?
Well, he broke his back.
I'm glad to hear that.
Huh?
Broke his back? How did he do that?
Well, on account of he's left-handed.
He broke his back because he's left-handed.
Yeah, well, you see what happened was he had a donut in his right-hand pocket, and when he went to take it out with his left hand...
He broke his back?
Yeah.
Well, you tell Bessie the next time to tell Willie that if he's got a donut in his right-hand pocket, to try to take it out with his right hand.
Yeah, but that's hard to do when you have your pants on backwards.
Had his pants on backwards.
Yes. Well, you see, what happened was he had a suit of clothes with two pairs of pants, and he put one pair on frontwards and one pair on backwards.
So that he could go either way?
That's when the truck hit him.
The truck? What truck?
The truck that didn't have its light switch.
Why didn't the truck have its light slit?
Because he had...
Hold it, hold it! Did the guy in the truck have his pants on backwards, or did Willie have his pants on backwards?
Oh, George, you're trying to confuse me.
I'm confusing you?
Willie had his pants on backwards.
Oh, but the fellow in the truck, why didn't he have his light slit?
He didn't have to, it was daytime. Am I getting you
well, down? No. That's how the fellow. But if he had his pants on backwards, I mean, the fellow in the truck, if he had his lights lit, didn't he see Willie coming?
He didn't know it was Willie. He saw two pairs of pants coming toward him, and he drove between them.
Goodbye.
Well, I'll have to go now and figure that out. That about ends the show for this week, but we'll be back again next week. More of the same. Finding facts from Social Security. I hope you'll tune in. So does Social Security. so don't disappoint us now. Till next week, Nipsey Russell again saying goodbye and love. Got that? Okay, relax now. We're going to have a few laughs with Red Skelton.
Oh, boy, it's time to get up. But I think I'll go back to my dreams again. Boy, I had a serious dream. Oh, goodness. I dreamed that the Russians couldn't get the plans for the atomic bomb, so they started out to find the most destructive thing in the world, the second most destructive. But my mummy wouldn't tell them how I was put together, you know. Oh, somebody's coming.
Junior, come on, dear. It's time to get up. Wake up, Junior. All right, I'll see if you're playing possum. I'll throw a glass of ice water on you. Now, Junior, have a busy day ahead. All right, I'll get the ice water.
Don't be afraid, folks. He won't do it.
Junior, do you hear me?
Nothing to give you.
Okay,
about.
I'm going to throw it.
You'll never do it in a million years, won't you? You'll never do it.
Man overboard!
Now I'm going to tell on you.
You're going to tell
what? I'm going to tell everybody that you was in the original cast of the old Shakespearean plays. And that you was... That old Shakespeare was your beau.
Now look, Virus X. I'm not that old.
Oh, you're not that old,
no.
Huh? Oh, no. Oh, bravo, bravo. Verna, you were superb. You were
superb. Oh, yes. But I owe it all to my beloved William.
Don't you hit me. Don't you... Could you wait?
Is Junior ready for breakfast?
If we're having it in the goldfish bowl, I is.
Oh, Junior, what happened?
Well, Nemo, I just threw a whole glass of ice water on me, and I wasn't doing nothing.
Oh, Mother, now you shouldn't
No.
have. Why, the poor little child. No. A thing like that could cause him to grow up with a phobia against water. Oh, you poor child.
Oh, come now, kiddo. Let's not get carried away.
I'm sorry, Junior. It wasn't a nice joke.
Oh, I don't mind, Namor, doll. I don't mind. I shouldn't have blabbed on you. I love you so much. But you better hurry and dry me off because I'm not samphorized, you know. I might shrink. I might shrink and become so widowed. I might become so widowed that you would never notice me running around the house, you know. And then when you vacuumed the rug, you would pick me up with a lint, you know, because I would be so widow-bitty that I would wind up right in the vacuum bag with the rest of the trash, you know. And then you would take it out and you would empty it into a newspaper and then roll up the newspaper and then take it out in the back and raise up the door to the insinuator and throw me in there, then light a match to it and burn me up and you'll never know it. Loud!
Now what's the matter?
I scared me down.
Oh, boy. That's Red Skelton. There's only one. And that wraps up another show from Social Security, because that's all the time we've got this week. But we'll be back next week with more laughs and more information on your rights and benefits under Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying so long. Okay, that's the serious part of the business. Now for a few laugh words from Sid Caesar and Imogene Coca.
Hello? Whom do you wish to speak to? Well, if that person has enough energy to get up off his chair and come to the phone, you will get your wish.
Hello? Hi, wait a minute. Who is this? Oh, Hank?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we had a fight, yeah. First fight we had. We were married 10 years. It started 10 years ago. No, I don't think we'll be able to come over. Well, we won't. If we can't come over, I'll call you. Yeah, goodbye, Hank.
Stubborn!
You started it. Admit it, you started it. Now apologize.
Course, for the life of me, I can't understand why adults just don't behave like adults rather than children. I don't know why you don't discuss your part of the situation, and then I'll discuss my part of the situation. We'll bring everything out in the open. We'll find out that I've been right all the time.
You want to talk?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk?
Yes.
You want to say your side of the situation? You want to talk, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Talk. All right, say something. I want to hear it. I want to hear what you got to say.
For
get it
what?
Off your chest, will you? Yeah, don't go hold nothing back. Tell it to me.
For
because
it
I want to hear what you got to say. Talk it out.
Fine.
Talk it out and let it come out of you, understand? I want to hear it. Let it get it off your chest. Don't keep it inside of you because it'll boil up. Let me hear what you got in that. I want to know what you got in that crazy brain. Tell me what you got in that.
I just want to be
able to tell
me.
I want to know. Tell me. I want to hear it.
Well,
yeah?
You've
got nothing to say.
How about those two? Well, that's it, comedy time for this week. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope you'll be back with us again next week for more laughs and more information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. I know I'll be here, and I hope you'll be there. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying, I love you, and bye-bye. And now let's hear from Brother Bill.
My wife gave me my son, Ennis. His beautiful cat name, Julie. Because, you know what he's got? He's got that head movement, you know. His head just bobbing up all the time. You know, and he's got the ooze. Just always a half a pound of ooze. Oozing off of him, you know. And I look at him, I say, this is the guy who's going to inherit all my money, right? I can see him when he's 17. Can I have the car, Dad? Ooze dripping off. And can throw up 25 feet. Hit you from 25 feet out. I figure God gave him two weapons. Ooze and throwing up 25 feet out. Anybody you don't dig, he'll get them one way or the other. He'll either ooze on you or that way. Just can't stop it. And he won't sit up for nothing. Brought him home, I thought he was intelligent. Brought him up, set him up there. He was 2 weeks old. Just set him up. He just sitting there and I was holding him. I said, okay, now sit up for Dad. Yeah, right. Anything you want. He woke up 6 o'clock in the morning. That's really cool. 6 o'clock in the morning. He's found his voice. And you can hear him. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Hello. Hello, son.
And now he's even looking for it. When I brought him home, my two daughters were standing there waiting.
Could we play with our baby brother?
I said, no, because I've seen your dolls. You're going to take my son's head, turn it around backwards, leave his arm in the corner and all that stuff.
Look, baby brother's breathing under the water, Daddy.
All you got to do that. And they're smart and quick, can think up answers for you in a second. They were playing in the bedroom. Their bedroom's down the hall from ours. My wife calls it the ghetto. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hear... And they're playing. And I get out of the bed, and I do my number going down, and I push the door open, hit the light switch, and I caught them, beautifully caught them. There's little Aaron... pulling the covers off of Erica's bed. Just standing there in that position when I caught her. And there's Erica on top of the bed with the trash can full of water. Just having a great time. And when I hit the light switch, Erin turned around and ran back to her bed with her eyes closed so I couldn't see her.
That's William Everett Cosby, my buddy Bill. And that about wraps up another chunk of Comedy Time for Social Security. We'll be right back here next week for more fun, more laughs, and more facts from Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying, glad we could get together. See ya.
Now, the next thing I want to talk about is still pertaining to sports. Marriage. If there's any criterion between love and getting up in the morning and looking at your mate sometime and just saying, "You parasite." I mean, just some mornings you get up, you know, and you just look at your mate and you say, you know, she's sleeping. "Yeah, parasite." There's some mornings when your mate will get up and you know there's something wrong with you. And they don't say anything, they just... And that's when I say nothing to my wife, man. I say nothing. I just get up, try to find my clothes from where she hid them. Wives always hide your clothes, man. You get up, they're always moving things. I leave them in a nice pile, all bundled up, man, so I can get up, get dressed like the fireman, you know? They're always hanging something up, you know, so your money will fall out and all that stuff. So I'm not asking her for nothing, you know. I'm just putting the clothes on, putting the wrong socks on. I don't care, man. I'm going to see the Rams play, see? I'm going to go to see the game. And so on the way out, then she just gives me that zinger, you know.
"Take your daughter with you."
Now, Erin is only 2 years old. She doesn't even know she's alive yet. Now, I got to take her to the football game, but I'm not arguing. Little Erin just standing there looking just as cute, and I take my two-year-old to the football game. I'm walking with my two-year-old to the game. If you don't know anything about two-year-olds, I'll tell you right now, no matter how slowly you walk with them, they always look like this. So I walk into the game. Now, I know that a two-year-old is busy because I had one before. Erica used to be two, but now it's Erin that I have with me. So I know you got to keep him busy. So I bought her like $900 worth of hot dogs. You know, oh, she dug it, man. She just... And her little stomach... You know, if her hands are not busy, she's going to set the cat next to her on fire. I know that. And so in order to avoid a lawsuit, I just keep that working. Now, it's a very boring game. The Rams are just, you know, they're fumbling, they're bonding, they're kicking, the boom, and the ball's not moving. They're tearing up the middle of the field. And nobody's excited about anything, you know. People, California crowds, they go to get pizza and hot dogs a lot, you know. "Nothing going on, let's get some pizza. Let's get some hot dogs. Nothing going on, our team's losing. Let's get some coffee. You know, our team's losing. Let's get a drink. Let's do this," you know. They move around, man, like it's some kind of party or something, you know. "Let's go over here. You go out and see the Dodgers play, they never even know what the hell happened, man. Let's get a pizza pie. Here we go. Get over here. What happened while we're gone?" "Nothing. Oh, okay. Let's get another pizza. Okay, here we go. Let's get out of there. Is the game over yet?" "Yes. Did we lose? Good. Let's go. Go home, get some pizza, get a hot dog. Get out of here." Second quarter, 30 seconds left to play. Second quarter. The Rams start to move. And the guy, boom. Now, fourth and one. Fourth and goal to go on the one-yard line. 15 seconds. Counting off the clock. I'm excited. The cat next to me is excited. Everybody's excited. They're just excited all over the place. It's very exciting. The Rams, then it's 1 second to go, and they break out of the huddle, man. You know they're going to have time, man. Gabriel gets underneath the thing. He's been barking off the signals up there, and it was go, go. And my two-year-old says, "I want a tiki." I said, "Wait a minute, Auntie. I want a tiki now." The whole crowd stood up. "Take that kid to TT, you bum." Now, the fact that the ball's on the one-yard line does not bother me at all, see? Because I've seen the ball on the one-yard line before. The thing that bothered me was that in all my years of going to football games, I have never seen a father and daughter TT room. That's the thing that bothered me. You see, because men are different. They really are. Men are different, man. Their whole thinking is different. They're funny people. Women will accept a young man any place. I'm telling you, as long as you're with your mother, you can be 40 years old. If you're with your mother, walk right in the ladies' room. Hello, this is my son. My, he's very cute. He's lovely. But you come in the men's room with a one-month-old daughter. Goes, oh, Jesus, there's a lady. Jesus. Why do you bring her in here? So in order to keep men from being upset, you know, I put the coat over her face. And I'm walking into the men's room with my two-year-old, you know, underneath. Shut up. So, and I put her in the stall, you know, and I close the door, you know. Guy comes up, can I get it? No, my daughter's in TD. She comes out carrying all of her clothes.